Over a period of years, starting during the 2020 election cycle, the People's Republic of China carried out what is believed to be the largest compromise of election data in history, resulting in China's illicit acquisition of 220 million U.S. voter files. That information includes names, addresses, phone numbers, political party preferences, and other sensitive data that would be needed to register to vote and engage in other nefarious activities, which is exactly what was happening. This data loss presents an unprecedented election security nightmare. The intelligence even shows that China has signed a data exploitation unit specifically to this new project.
All right, that was President Trump giving his recent speech on just the new revelations on how our election in 2020 was corrupted. China was the star of that speech, and we're going to talk about China today in regard to that. This is our second podcast on all things related to election corruption. We're going to be talking about this a lot, but today's particular show is on China. Gordon Chang is going to join us, and we're going to talk about exactly what China might be planning with all the things they have stolen from us, what we can know and what we can't know, the connections with China and many of our leaders in Washington, so-called leaders, who seem to be betraying the American people, and the media, who refuse to cover President Trump's information he delivered in that speech, which is crucial, for heaven's sake. How are we going to survive? And how are we going to survive the midterms, which are also crucial, if we don't have free and fair elections? It's not possible. And yet people like Senator John Thune, Tom Tillis laugh. They laugh. I've heard both of them laugh. When reporters have asked them about the Save America Act, they're like, oh, we don't have the votes. And they say that while I'm telling you right now in real time, this is July the 22nd, as I'm speaking to you, there are 10 Republican senators who are, well, they're just AWOL in the Senate right now. In the middle of all this Save Act and all the other things they're trying to pass, they're gone. Many of them are overseas on these special trips that they take called coddles. Someone pays for them and they get like it's a paid for vacation and it's really important to them. And so that's what they're doing. And then, of course, we have Mitch McConnell, who was not healthy, but, you know, we've seen pictures of him in the bed smiling, hospital bed. So that's okay. He's not voting. He's absent. He's been absent for, like, I think, over a month. These are the people leading us. These are the people leading us. Well, we're going to talk about all of that today. But first, hey, friends, we're living in a defining moment in so many ways. Almost every day I bring you, or every day that I record a podcast to you at some defining moment. And right now we're talking about elections and all of that, and the midterms are coming up. Those are defining moments, crucial. But in the area of abortion, this is also a defining moment, because the abortion pill, what used to be called RU486, mifepristone, and the other drug, one that kills and one that expels, that's how it works, is still legal. And girls and women can order it online without a doctor's approval, supervision, not even knowing how far along the woman or girl is. They can get this pill, these pills, and take them in the privacy of their own home and deliver their babies, because it is a delivery with all the cramping and all the things that go along with that. And most of them deliver their babies in the toilet. I know that's a horrendous thing for me to say publicly, but can you not understand why this is so wrong? All the women that we've talked to through the years since abortion has been legal, who've told us about depression and sadness and regret and sometimes suicide and sometimes infertility because of the abortions that they chose to have in earlier years. What do you think the effect on those women is going to be now, when it's not someone else who took their baby's life, it's by their own hand? I don't think we have any idea what it's going to do to women. We think women are hard about this now. Women my age are especially hard. I think we see them out on the streets, you know, protesting with their gray hair and their angry faces. And I know this is not scientific, but I attribute a lot of that to abortion, because they have allowed themselves to do things that are against their nature, and rather than repent and ask forgiveness, they've just become harder on everything. And this is, can you imagine if that's happened with other people aborting their babies, then what about when women do it at their own hand? What kind of regret is that going to be? I'm the one that did it. I killed my own baby. Yeah, that is what it is. So we are in a defining moment. And so one wonderful way to stop this from happening is to show moms the ultrasound of their babies in their womb. It works. It works. Probably 60 to 80% of women who see that baby decide to keep their baby or adopt it, at least not take its life. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. It only costs $28 for one ultrasound, and preborn does, you know, these all the time. There's so many great stories. If you would like to help, it's $28 for one, but of course, any multiple of that would be just wonderful. And you think about all the babies whose lives you might be able to save. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. All right. Well, today's conversation with Gordon Chang is pretty interesting because Gordon is half American or half Scottish and half Chinese. He understands both cultures and he knows a lot about China. He lived and worked there for years, but he loves this country and he wants to do everything he can to preserve it. That's why I think so much of him. So he's going to talk to us today, fill in some of the blanks on the president's speech on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
China is one of the biggest collectors of data on the planet. So if you take that 220 million voter rolls and you combine it with something called the SF-86, those are the security clearance applications that were compromised back in 2015, 22 million files. And then you combine it with all of the health information that's been hacked, you can really build this kind of digital composite of an individual. And you can use that for, you know, voter registration fraud. You can use that for identity theft. And significantly, you can also use it to recruit American citizens to your efforts. So it's not just about the collection of the data around the vote. Exactly.
Right. The voice of Catherine Herridge, who is now with CBS. I miss Catherine, by the way. I guess I could watch CBS, but it's too painful. But she does great reporting. And of course, she's reporting on what we're all watching. I hope if you're watching Fox, you know nothing about this, very little. Or NBC or CBS, because they won't talk about it. But we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it every day, probably, until the midterms come, and maybe even beyond that. My guest is Gordon Chang. Gordon is the author of The Great U.S.-China Tech War and Losing South Korea. He's also the author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World and the Coming Collapse of China, both from Random House. Gordon has been my guest for years, but some of you may not be aware of his background. Gordon was, he has a Scottish mother and a Chinese father, which I think is fascinating. He lived and worked in China and Hong Kong for almost two decades. He is an attorney. Most recently in China, he worked in Shanghai as counsel to the American law firm Paul Weiss and earlier in Hong Kong as partner in the international law firm Baker and McKenzie. He's written so many things, I can't mention them all, but he understands both worlds, and he loves America. So, Gordon, thank you for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Sandy.
Gordon, did you have any idea? President Trump gave his speech almost a week ago from the time we're recording here. Did you have any idea that China had hacked that much American, in terms of numbers, 220 million Americans' voter information?
I was surprised at the number. I wasn't surprised that they had tried to get into the election infrastructure, because they tried to get into all the infrastructure. but they were extraordinarily successful. And as Catherine Herridge was saying, they've been into everything. So, for instance, those insurance company hacks were really important because they learned about the health condition of so many Americans. And then the Office of Personnel Management, where they got those files that she mentioned, you know, all that data is put together into their AI systems. They're able to assemble it and use it. So we've got to be extremely concerned about any hack of China, especially one that was so large, as President Trump said Thursday.
I want to talk mostly about their hacking of our voter records, Gordon. But before I move on, why in the world? You and I have talked often, and you have told me in no uncertain terms that China wants to not kill us through war, but to displace us and take what we have. I think that's pretty solid information coming from you. But why would they want? Why would they need to know our medical records, all of our voter information, apart from messing with our elections? Why do they want all this information on Americans? What do they think they're planning to do with this?
Well, as Catherine Herridge says, once you find a person's vulnerability, then you can turn him. And I'm sure that they have been collating through the data to find Americans who are vulnerable to coercion, blackmail, intimidation, whatever. And that is extremely important for being able to recruit spies. So that's just one thing. But also, if you want to create false voter ID and registration, I'm sure that this was helpful. And there are any number of different things that we have not thought of yet that the Chinese are now working on. So it's a comprehensive assault on American society.
Right after this President Trump speech last Thursday, I turned to Newsmax, and Ed Henry was on with Greg Kelly, and they didn't have time to say much, so this is just a snippet. But Ed Henry was asking the question, well, okay, so they have all this data, but is there any evidence they did anything with it, that they really actually did something with it in regard to the election? I'll just say, before you answer, I was flabbergasted and upset, but I want to know what your response would have been.
Yeah, we don't know. And obviously China would have messed in our elections in ways which we would not be able to find out. President Trump on Thursday didn't say that they changed votes, but clearly that gave them a lot of visibility into the United States. So, yes, at this point, we don't know about votes being changed, but clearly, with their illicit means, they weren't doing this for good purposes, so they must have had malicious purposes in mind.
You know, I talk about election integrity a lot, Gordon, with people that I know you love and respect and who are experts in the field. And, you know, with China taking the information, we have evidence, I believe I'm understanding, we're getting all this evidence coming out from our agencies, the NSA, the FBI, the CIA. It's coming like a flood. And so China did involve itself in printing, as I understand it, voter registrations, which in several states, probably 10, no, not the 10, maybe the 10 that we know that are swing states, and I'm guessing on that, but I think that's true. There were areas where lots of voter registrations turned up that came from, you know, who knows where, where the printing was different or that didn't look exactly like the original. So I think we have, that's anecdotal, and so the lines have not been drawn yet, but I think that's evidence that they really did actually take that information and try to mess with our elections. And I think we're going to find that they actually succeeded. That's my opinion about it.
Well, we know from things that President Trump did not talk about China's interference in elections, which I'm sure changed votes. So, for instance, in March of 2020, the New York Times reported that the Chinese were using text messages to spread rumors to disrupt the Trump campaign by saying that Trump was about to invoke the Stafford Act, which really would have been a takeover of the country. And Trump had no intention of doing that. Plus, we also know that they had used their tens of millions of bots on Facebook, Instagram, what was then called Twitter, to spread false information. We know or we suspect that they were funding the Democratic Party through Act Blue with foreign money, which of course is illegal, and in ways which were both open and surreptitious. They were fomenting violence on American streets.
Oh,
in October
absolutely.
Of 2020, a Chinese official, European bureau chief of China Daily, which is an official publication, on Twitter actually encouraged Americans to commit acts of violence, throw petrol bombs on our streets. That's an act of war, by the way, Sandy, and it was right out in the open. So we know what China did. It disrupted American society. And if you remember at the beginning of 2020, everybody, both sides of the aisle, were saying that Trump was cruising to a re-election victory. And we know what happened in 2020, and that means that the only person who cast a vote that made a difference in 2020, that was Xi Jinping.
That's a dreadful thought. You know, Gordon, I remember those riots in front of the White House and by, I think, a St. John's Church in that area where they tried to burn the church and the riots. The Black Lives Matter was part of the mix and all of that. And I remember in videos that I saw seeing Chinese people who looked, you know, they didn't look westernized to me, out in the streets in the middle of that, the riots and the protests. And I mean, I believe that we have proof that they were doing that. But
Sandy, before you go.
Sure.
The U.S. government believes that the Chinese government were organizing those Chinese protesters on that night that St. John's Church was burned. These guys were organized in a military-like fashion. They were moving with military maneuvers, and clearly these were not organic. So, you know, we don't have, at least outside of the U.S. government, I don't have the proof that they were organized by the Chinese government, but it sure looks that way. And inside the government, and they're not talking, but I do believe that they have the evidence that that was Chinese government agents fomenting violence or committing acts of violence on our streets.
You know, some of the information that's come out, I wish I had it. You know, there's thousands of pages, tens of thousands probably. But I did hear this, that one of the agencies revealed some communication of some sort where the Chinese were stating clearly that they were trying to destroy Donald Trump. They wanted entities and agents like media, networks, people in media like me, and not me, by the way, but trying to get them to write the worst things possible about President Trump to try to destroy him in whatever way to keep him from winning in 2020. We know that. Now, that's one of the official documents that came out from this. So why wouldn't we think that they were, why wouldn't someone like, I'm sorry, I'm picking on him, but why wouldn't someone like my, gosh, I just said his name a few minutes ago, for on Newsmax, not Greg, but the other guy, say, but you know, we don't have it. We don't know if they actually managed to do anything. He said it like that. I think we can be pretty sure they managed to do a lot of things, even though we may not know all of them yet.
Yes, there's two things. One of them is the standard of proof that you would need to convict somebody in a court of a crime. There's the other standard, though, and that is what we believe and what we must act upon to defend our country, which is a lower standard of proof. And so, yes, Ed Henry is right. They don't have the standard of beyond a reasonable doubt. But we don't need that in order to act.
But they have a lot of proof already from these agencies, which is really actually refreshing. If we could just get, I want to come back to media in just a second. I want to also say that part of the documentation showed that they wanted, of course, President Trump out at all costs in any way possible, and they wanted Biden in. And there's an interesting little clip that I want to play for you that has Trump, I think it starts back in 2011, and then Biden around that same time, and then it goes a few years later. And it's the contrast from the way they talked about China. This is clip 3.
I have many people from China that I do business with. They laugh at us. They feel we're fools. You know, they're getting away with absolute murder.
China's a great nation. And we should hope for the continued expansion.
Tough I don't want to lose $300 billion a year to China when we can't afford to build schools for our children, when we can't afford to build highways, when we can't afford to build railways, okay. when we can't afford to build bridges. I want money to be invested in jobs and in this country. I don't want to rebuild China.
A rising China is a positive, positive development, not only for China, but for America and the world writ large.
It was China's fault, and China's going to pay a big price what they've done to this country. China's going to pay a big price what they've done to the world. This was China's fault, and just remember that.
554,064 American dead from COVID-19. A lot of families want to know how this happened, how it got here. Have you had a chance to speak to any of your international partners, any of President Xi, who I know you go way back with? Have you had a chance to ask him if these reports are true, that China maybe misled the world at the beginning?
No, I have not had that conversation with President Xi. Thank you.
All right, so Gordon, there's the contrast. And you, way back during COVID, you and I spoke many times, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you were pretty convinced at that point that China was responsible for that virus, didn't you?
Yes, of course. And it's incontrovertible. The Chinese government knew no later than the second week of December of 2019 that COVID was highly transmissible human to human. But throughout that month and up until January 20, they told the world it was not transmissible. And then when they finally admitted that it was on January 20, they said there were only a few cases and that it was not readily transmissible. In that interim period, they told the World Health Organization and they told health officials around the world, including Dr. Redfield, who was the head of the CDC at the time, that we didn't have to worry. Now, at the same time, China was engaged in very strict lockdowns in central China where the disease broke out. And at the same time, they were pressuring other countries, including the United States, to take arrivals from China without restrictions. Lockdowns are controversial, but by locking down their own country, they were telling the world they thought that was an effective way to stop disease. And at the same time, they were sending Chinese out and pressuring others to take them without the quarantines. You put those two things together, Sandy, and it's clear that however this disease got out into China in the first place, we don't know that 100%. But 100% we knew that China decided to spread this disease beyond its borders once it got out. That's 7 million people died from COVID outside China, and that number includes 1.2 million Americans. And we should consider those people murdered. These people just didn't die from a disease. These people were murdered by Xi Jinping. And there should be consequences for that. There must be consequences for that.
Well, not only that, as though that weren't enough, that was the election year leading up to 2020. And so because of COVID and the shutdowns and all blah, 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 various entities around the world, around the country, changed the rules, bent the rules, ignored the rules, the election rules, the safety guards that we had set up with mail-in ballots, with, election centers, just all of that caution was thrown to the wind. And we had a mess of an election in 2020. And so, is it safe to say, Gordon, that that's exactly what they had in mind?
I'm sure that's one of the things that they had in mind. I'm not sure that they gamed it out, but they thought that they could disrupt the United States and weaken us. And what they got was, of course, Joe Biden as president at the end of the process. On elections, we know how to run fraud-free elections. Both parties know how to, and neither party is really pushing it, except for President Trump. We know how to do this. It's paper ballots. You have paper ballots. It is virtually impossible to cheat if you count them like the Taiwanese count them. The Taiwanese don't let government workers in a back room count ballots. They count it in front of everybody in a room, so everybody has the same tally. It is a very good election system. They've got clear ballot boxes. Everyone watches the ballot boxes getting sealed. Everyone watches the voting. Everyone watches the counting. And there are no allegations of fraud in Taiwan because it's virtually impossible to commit fraud in Taiwan. We know how to do it. neither Republicans nor Democrats will sign on to that. President Trump has talked about paper ballots. That's absolutely the way to go. Let's get rid of the machines. Let's get rid of the municipal workers counting these in rooms where we can't see what's going on. This is our fault, Sandy, because we know how to do this, but we refuse to take those steps that are necessary to prevent fraud in our elections.
Yeah, don't I know it? You know, when I was growing up, Gordon, that's what we did, of course, and we knew who the winner was, you know, like in the middle of the night or the very next morning. We knew all the candidates who had won everything. And that was way back there where people were, everything was done by hand. They weren't machines. And this, and Florida does something like that now too. I think they do use machines, but they're very, everything's guarded. It's operated very well. So absolutely, there is no excuse for an election like California right now, or the one that the country had in 2020. And now here's the next thing though, Gordon. This is probably the thing that has me, China's our enemy. So yeah, they're trying to destroy us and they're doing a really good job. But what explains the treachery of the media, the treachery of congressmen and senators? And we can go into detail, but in general, what explains that treachery, Gordon, unless it's Chinese money?
It's Chinese money, and they're exploiting a hatred of President Trump. You know, and it's partisan politics, because now it's the Democrats who are the villains. But when you have a Democratic president, you have Republicans basically supporting China. As a matter of fact, in Congress, the names of congressmen who were the most helpful to China, they were Republicans.
Oh, yes.
Thomas Massie. Now, Thomas Massie is a patriot. I will say that. But he has views which align with those of the Communist Party, because he doesn't believe that the United States needs to take resolute measures to protect itself, because he's a libertarian. Now, that's fine, but the point is his views help the Communist Party, and we have to understand that. And also, we had this Republican congressman in North Carolina, who fortunately is no longer in Congress, who stopped President Biden's attempts to get the Chinese out of the U.S. stock markets. That's Patrick McHenry.
So, oh, that's right.
This is a disease in both parties, and we Americans, regardless of who we are, and I'm an independent, but regardless of which party we identify with or no party, we need to demand that our officials protect us from our enemy, and we should have no tolerance for any official who helps the Communist Party, either intentionally or unintentionally.
So, Gordon, I'm going to say something really politically incorrect, and 'cause I do that. I'm pretty blunt about things, and I just don't understand how the majority leader in the Senate for years has been married to a Chinese woman who is also American, Elaine Chao, who does massive business with the Chinese Communist Party. And as a matter of fact, just 2 weeks ago when Mitch McConnell had his last episode, didn't even come home because she was meeting with the vice president of China. We have a nice picture of them smiling together. Now, that maybe that means nothing, except when you consider that Mitch McConnell is one of the biggest arch enemies of President Trump. Mitch McConnell is one of the greatest oppositions to the Save America Act and other things that would benefit this country. I'm sorry. I think questions have to be asked. What's going on there?
And questions have been asked and will be asked, because the sight of Elaine Chao in China was hideous.
Yes, and then you got, but okay, so here's the thing, Gordon, I feel like our side, and when I say our side, you know, I've never been, I'm a registered Republican, but people that have ever listened to me for years can tell you for a certainty, I have never pushed a party. And I have been as harsh a critic on the Republicans when they deserve criticism as any Democrat. I kind of gave up criticizing the Democrats because they're also bad. But the Republicans are also just, many of them are just, to me, close to treason in how they're behaving, especially on the Save America Act. And I think that we need, I'll just say this publicly, the Democrats play hardball. And I think conservatives who love America, and that's the us I was talking about, need to play hardball too. And that is to do some investigating on these Republican senators to find out where their money's come from, what they're taking, what they're doing. They need to be observed because there's got to be something, Gordon. There's got to be some reason why they're so casual about not passing the Save America Act, which could stop much of what China is doing. When 80% of the Americans, in fact, more than that now, I just read this morning, Democrats and Republicans want that proof of citizenship and photo ID to vote. We want that. Americans want it. And they just laugh. And now 10 of them actually are gone. They're on those codicils, those codels, they call them, overseas having a little vacation while we're trying to get the Save America Act passed. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. But, I mean, I do think we need to investigate their personal finances and what they're doing with their time.
Yeah. We know that China funnels a lot of money to American politicians of both parties, and that must stop. I mean, it's been clear. And it's not just to politicians, it's to universities. They end up advantaging companies that they favor. It is a thorough penetration of every institution in American society. And we have been overwhelmed, and we've got to cut those links with the Chinese regime if we're going to save our country.
All right, so this was made public by President Trump last week, and that was the fact that ABC, NBC, and CNN refused to air his speech. And by the way, their comments subsequently are, let's see, this is NBC News. This is an X from them. I guess we call them X's now. President Trump, this is after the speech, a couple of days after. President Trump unspools a multi-pronged conspiracy theory about the 2020 election during a White House address, alleging again, despite vast evidence to the contrary, that American election systems are vulnerable and cannot be compromised. So, Gordon, even Fox is refusing to cover any of the additional information that's come out since that speech. They're not even talking about the speech. So, what's going on here?
Yeah, President Trump, in that speech, stuck to the facts. He didn't say that the Chinese changed the outcome of the 2020 election. I believe they did through other means, but he stuck to the facts. And those were not conspiracies. And for any news organization to cover for China is just reprehensible. And the American people, we've got a First Amendment. First Amendment covers lying. But the American people can punish news organizations as others for covering for communist China. And in that case, that was a gross mischaracterization of what President Trump said because they distorted the facts.
Yes, and for those, you know, since the 2020 election when Fox fell out of favor, rightfully so, I was so angry with him. And Gordon, I used to be with Fox. I was with him for 7 years. And I used to championed that channel. When I was on the air in Chicago, nobody could get Fox on cable then. And I fought really hard to bring it to Chicago. Not that I'm the single-headed reason it came, but I did do my part. So they came in, I was thrilled. And then I went to work for them later. I just so grateful that we had another voice. And so when 2020 happened and they cooperated in that ridiculous, I'm not sure what to call it, plot about the machines shut down the voting, and they also called states for Biden before it was even time to call them. They did a lot of bad things, and I think everybody saw it and stopped listening. Well, that's been a few years, and I think Rupert Murdoch's son has realized he lost so much listenership that they sort of brought it back to the right a little bit, and I think people now have started watching it. I'm one of them. Because I really like a lot of the personalities on Fox. But honestly, Gordon, they're not talking about it. I tuned into Special Report the day after the speech. I tuned into Jesse Waters for the whole thing. Nobody even mentioned it. They didn't even mention it. What are we to do about that from your perspective? And why would they do that?
Well, important thing is that the President of the United States needs to have a conversation with the American people about how the Chinese regime threatens us and the comprehensive and malicious nature of their attack. Because once we do that, then it becomes clear that China is an enemy. And the president can use his powers to make sure that Americans don't do things like going to Beijing and sitting down with a vice premier. These are things that we can prohibit, but the president needs to do that. So it has got to be, he's got to change people's opinions about this. And until he does, we're going to have the disunity that could bring down our republic. Because although we're a far stronger society than China, China right now is determined, and it is ruthless and malicious, and it can take us by surprise, especially with the problems in China right now becoming worse. They have every incentive to hit us when we're not watching.
Isn't that something? And I didn't even ask you about that, because with the buildup of, you know, China, you've described in great detail with me before the buildup they're doing militarily, which has been frightening, just frightening. But with the advance of our own military under President Trump, do you think China's back on its heels a bit about that, or do you think they're still smug about their capabilities?
That's a great question. I think Xi Jinping is very concerned about China's capabilities. We have not seen an invasion of the main island of Taiwan, but they are engaging in fearsome intimidation tactics, like circling the island, and they very well could, their view is that they could force Taiwan to surrender. And we need the President of the United States to tell the Chinese to back off, because we've seen in the last couple months a really important ramping up of China's belligerent activities, not just against Taiwan, but also against Japan and the Philippines. So this is a time for President Trump to actually talk about this, not only in private, but in public as well.
Well, I agree, and hopefully he will. I would say I just think I feel that this is a spiritual thing, not a political thing. I feel like we just must pray for him. He's under threat from Iran. They've got billboards all over the country with him in a, showing him in a casket, and they are declaring they're going to kill him. And we know he had to change his flight plans from the new Air Force One, his last trip back from the Middle East. And he looks tired, and he sounds tired. And I don't know what one man could bear everything, could solve a war with Iran and execute that and try to deal with all the enemies here in this country. It's just almost more than one man can bear, and I don't think apart from the strength of God, one man can do that. So I would just admonish everyone to pray for him. Gordon, have I forgotten anything that you would want to tell my audience?
No, we've covered a lot.
Yeah, okay. All right, Gordon, thank you so much. And how could people read what you're writing?
I put things on X at GordonChang, and I archive all my articles for free at www.GordonChang.com.
Okay, great. GordonChang.com and at GordonChang on X. Okay, Gordon, thank you so much for your time, and you take care, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Stay safe, Sandy.
Okay, you too. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Abortions performed by Planned Parenthood were among the top leading causes of death in America, revealing the terrifying truth of the left's anti-life agenda. According to Planned Parenthood's 2022-23 annual report, abortions performed by the organization accounted for the top four leading causes of death. Think about that. Paid for by our tax dollars. And honestly, this freight train is going down the track so fast and so powerfully. It's really hard. It's going to be hard for us to stop this. And I think one of the best ways, I've said before, I'll say again, is preborn. Preborn, who is not part of the government, not part of the public debate or campaigns, but an organization that's simply providing ultrasounds for moms who are pregnant and doubting whether they should carry the baby to allow them to see their baby through ultrasound. It's an amazing process, and it actually works. When the moms see their babies, I think it doubles the chance that they will not take the life of their baby. You know, you can't beat those odds. If you'd like to help, $28 pays for one ultrasound, just one, and you can send however much you can afford. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
There was no deleting or changing of votes, and this was the most secure election in American history.
I think it is safe to say this is the most secure election we've ever held in the United States.
The nation's top federal election infrastructure agency says this year's election was, quote, the most secure in history.
Despite all of the concerns leading up to the election, this was ultimately determined to be our most secure election ever.
So those are the media voices that influenced your thoughts on this. After the 2020 election became a surprise to all of us, and now we know they were lying to us. The big lie turned out to be true, and the big liars turn out to be just that. They are liars. Doubling down in the media, doubling down in MSNBC, NBC, CNN, they're doubling down, even though President Trump has said to them they might lose their licenses. They get free licenses worth millions and millions of dollars to have access to the airwaves. And I would love for the FCC to come in and take away their licenses. I think that would be, well, maybe actually some network might cover what's going on if something like that happened. We need to have real action. There's no question about that. It can't be just talk. Somebody has to do something about what we're seeing. I think Harmeet Dhillon is all over it. I think the president, I know his team is, I know John Solomon is. And so let's just wait and see. But meanwhile, could I please advise you to listen to Newsmax? Change your habits right now. Newsmax is great, especially in the evenings. Greg Kelly, Rob Schmidt, Finnerty, they just do a great job. I'm not leaving some other names out, but those guys are great. And you will hear the stuff you're not hearing on Fox. You will be well served to do that. And also go on X and follow someone like John Solomon. Follow someone like Elon Musk, for heaven's sake. Elon Musk has weighed in on this and says, as much as he loves technology, that's been his life, he believes we as Americans must go to paper ballots and same-day voting. That was Elon Musk. So that you can hear the real information, I think you should sign up to follow Elon, follow John Solomon, follow me on X, and you're going to hear a lot of things as all of this information is John and his team, John Solomon, are working like 17 hours a day, and they're going through all of these records from the major FBI, the CIA, the NSA, and they're distilling it, and DHS, Department of Homeland Security, and they're going to release it as it comes. There's going to be a couple of more, maybe at least a couple more huge releases. And you don't want to miss that. I don't want you to miss that. I can't possibly talk about all of it at this mic, but I'm going to bring you as much as I can. But on your own, I suggest you go to Newsmax or sign up at X. And there may be other outlets too. Real America's Voice. I'm sure I'm leaving things out. But do your own investigation. But Fox is not trustworthy now. Neither are those networks. CBS may be doing better than the others. So that's my opinion, but it's an informed opinion, and I just want to do my best to keep you informed. Remember that Preborn is our sponsor, and for that I'm very grateful. Couldn't do this without their support. If you'd like to help them, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.